Mr. Gay Wan Gui, Rule 16.
Is it in our village? They have a place where the fishermen and all they bring in their catch, and they bring in where the big fish are usually taken by the Japanese, who like fish very much, and when they are brought in, most of the local people do not have a chance to purchase the big fish. So our regular supply would be mostly the teedler type of small fish and medium-sized fish. And someone told me that if you wanted to get the big fish, you go further down through a jungle path, then there you would be able to purchase the big fish on the quiet and bring them downtown to sell. That's how. Because I told them that in the settlement I sometimes saw people selling the big fish. How did they manage to get? When we have been coming down here to get the big fish to sell, and I couldn't do so no matter how early I arrived. He said, "You go and try." So I went down and just did so. I went down a few times, but at one time the journey was so dangerous, there was a rickety wooden bridge to cross, and my bicycle and my basket of big fish nearly went tumbling into the torrential stream below, that I found it not worthwhile to continue this unprofitable and dangerous business. And I assumed also, from what I heard, that this was dangerous because most of the big fish were taken at this spot. The Japanese at the collecting center or at the main fish depot would not be able to purchase the big fish. And when they became too suspicious, they certainly would know what was happening behind their backs. And one day, if they set a trap, I might be caught. And where would I be? So I said to myself, it was silly for me to continue. These people might know how to escape the trap, but I would be silly, not knowing very much about the whole affair. So I stopped.
Where was the collecting center?
It was right at the village, and there was a pier. There's a seaside there.
And our village.
And our village.
So, was it compulsory to supply the big fish to the Japanese, or was it just that the people had to sell it? I mean, was there a system of the Japanese getting the big fish from the people there?
No, they never compelled, I believe, in at that moment when they had control of the country. They never compelled. They just said they wanted so much and so much, and they came down and purchased what they wanted. So it just depended on the officer in charge, what they wished to do. If these people were disappointed, whatever action they wanted to do because of the disappointment would depend on very much on the on those in charge, you see.
So the local fishermen had to reserve the big fish for them, even though it was not compulsory?
I believe so. They knew the character of these people from experience, I suppose. So they knew tacitly that it would be wiser not to displease them too much. They had seen, in fact, I was told that they had seen some executions, which I didn't see. Before that time, they had seen some executions of disciplinary action taken by them.
investigate what were the other economic activities that were carrying on in Andal besides those that you have already mentioned.
Is there were besides the things that I mentioned, like restaurants and night markets, there were shops at the seaside small town or village, as we call it, which consisted of a row of terraced wooden houses and a small pier for fishermen to land their catch. And there we could buy whatever goods that were available if we had the money to do so. And there were other things like bartering. If we could have things to sell, there would be agents who would look around for buyers for you and so forth, to change your goods to cash. And there were places where we could sit around and talk business, and a lot of things going on were there. Of course, one must be careful not to be involved in certain conversations that perhaps might be connected with the anti-Japanese army there. So it was quite a comfortable life, and people were all quite well provided with the necessities of life, plus a few other luxuries.
Were these shops in Andal settlement itself?
Via pardon?
Were these shops that you mentioned, were they in Andal settlement itself?
No, you're not in the settlement itself. Settlement, there were roadside stalls. Obviously, in a settlement, you're not allowed to open shops. It was only for people to settle. After all, it was about 3/4 to a mile to the village. And you could easily make the journey down.
What about the coffee shops in Andal settlement that you mentioned?
They were usually occupied the corner of the blocks, or near the corners. And they were converted sections of the dwelling places, you see, or near the administrative blocks.
Who operated these coffee shops?
Well, I'm not sure, but I know for certain that Mr. Martin Chen, who was the principal of the Japanese school there, he and his wife operated the shop there, and it was a central meeting place of the English educated people. At that place you get graduates, including some PhDs.
What about other coffee shops?
There were others scattered about in the settlement, a few others.
Did you know who operated them?
I have no idea. We did go there to drink and to talk.
How did these coffee shop owners and even the restaurant owner, how did they get the supply for their business?
Oh, like the Wing Chun Yin, the famous restaurant, had the headquarters in Singapore. They just sent their stuff up and whatever they wanted for their supply of their ingredients and for their food. And they provided very good food. In fact, every time VIPs went there, they would hold the dinners and the celebration all there. And we people also, every now and then, we would join together and have our dinner together at the restaurant.
Did you know who operated that restaurant in Andal?
You're under the name of Wing Chun Yin.
Who was the person in charge?
I don't know the name of the person in charge, but It was a famous restaurant. It remained famous a long time, and after it has changed, either changed its name or just closed down, and other restaurants came up. And, but it remained famous for a very long time. Even after the war. Not in Endow, in Singapore.
Did you know whether it had to get some license to operate there?
Of course, everybody who went there had to get permission to go. I suppose they must have had it from the welfare department.
How was business for this restaurant?
Yeah, pardon?
How was the business like for this restaurant?
Oh, it was doing a very roaring business. And my wife and I, we were one of the suppliers of wood to the restaurant. And during our spare time, we would go to the jungle to cut pieces of wood to sell to them for $3 a piece.
Besides the restaurant and coffee shops, were there any other activities that were going on?
As I said, as far as I was concerned, I played a violin and sang a few songs at the small stage near the entrance to the settlement. And especially when Mr. Shinozaki or his representatives or the committee of the Chinese Association came up, there would be some sort of a party at a restaurant, and these people would like to see something going on, you see. They would not like to come and see something, nothing done except people moving about buying and selling things. And so we provided some singing and playing of music. There was the piano, I was playing the violin, somebody was playing the clarinet, and another chap was playing the saxophone. And so we produced music of sorts, whatever available pieces we could get our hands on. And that provided the entertainment. And the people tried to play some games. I suppose the Chinese did try to play some basketball, if I remember. But most of them were too busy attending to their land or doing something else to bother much about games.
The restaurant that you mentioned, where was its location?
It was located, as the sketch map shows, outside the settlement, just a few yards to the left, in a compound, next to the irrigation canal, or Talik Ai, we call it.
Just now, you mentioned something about VIPs visiting the place. Who were these people?
At first, there were the bankers and financiers and so on, and I don't know very much about them. The original people, of course, were Mr. G.H. Kett, Mr. Lee Chun Sing, and a few others, you know, or prominent citizens, bankers, and familiar faces, but I can't remember their names.
Did any Japanese besides Mr. Shinozaki visit the place?
There were, but they did not in the least interfere. They came as purely as visitors. The administration of the place was left entirely in the hands of the Chinese Association officials.
How frequent were these visits from the VIPs or the Japanese?
Every now and then. I don't quite remember. Every few months. Not often. Because you must remember, somehow or other, their journeys up and down would be known to the anti-Japanese people. And they might be waylaid. And it was a dangerous thing for them to travel up to the settlement from Singapore. As a matter of fact, there was an instance where they were ambushed, and Mr. Lee was shot, you know, and he nearly died there. Luckily, he was hospitalized and taken care of properly and recovered.
Do you remember when did that happen?
No, I can't.
You mentioned some entertainment and recreational activities. How often were they held?
They were held whenever these people came. And at one time it was, I think, a monthly affair at least. Or whenever we felt like it.
Who would be the person to organize this musical group and other recreation?
I have no idea, you know. You just said, you say, hey, tonight, you know, you come along. You're going to play this, and you say, all right. You just pass the word along, and you just walk across the stage, and nobody ever listened to the music seriously. You just went up there, started, and played. It was all. And it was not really artistic performances. Except when the VIPs were there, we were more careful, you know, playing. But otherwise, it was more or less a fun and practice session for us.
Would the settlers go to listen to all of you play?
No, they sometimes they would stop. If we played some Chinese music, more people would stop to listen. But if we played English music, there would be just a trickle, a number of our friends. But while they were listening, they would be chit-chatting and moving about.
In fact,
I doubt if they could hear very much of our music, because it was in open space and there were very few of us. And you were talking and not a silent audience.
When would you normally play? In the evenings or
mornings? It was in the evening around about 8 o'clock to about 9 or 10.
How many of you usually in the group?
Four or five. Sometimes six.
Where did all of you get the instrument and the score for?
Our own. They were all our own instruments, you see. It was our hobby, and we just asked those around what they could play, what they could do. And sometimes the instruments kept on changing.
Besides this, were there any times that the people in Endow settlement had to celebrate Japanese festivals or occasions?
No. I don't think they did show that kind of thing, and neither were they expected to do that. Because, as I said already, they were stay in an area that was risky in respect of these anti-Japanese elements.
Do you remember whether the people in Endow had to put up Japanese flag in their homes?
Not that I know of, because I myself did not do that. I did not possess any Japanese flag, or any flag for that matter.
Were there religious activities going on in the settlement?
There were some religious groups. They gathered together in one of the huts. I don't know what denomination they were. I heard some hymn singing, but as I said, many of us were too busy to be interested in such things. There were people who attended in a certain block. They did go and have meetings and had regular services.
Any proper church building or temple?
Dear pardon?
Any proper church building or temple for these people?
No. I believe they might have used the school area, the school hall or room, you see.
Were there any other schools beside the one that you taught in the settlement?
No.
How were other facilities in the settlement, like, for instance, medical facilities, water supply, and all that?
As I said, we had the health department, and Dr. Chen Apo was in charge. And we had a sanitary inspector, who was very good himself. And we had quite a good supply of quinine, mepocrine. In fact, in that respect, we are luckier than other places that we were taken care of with anti-malarial medicine. And from some sources, we could even buy black market anti-malarial medicine. And we had also this anti-malarial department taking care of this mosquito menace, disposal of waste, lavatories, and so forth. All in all, it was quite a healthy place, in spite of everything. As I said, the cream of administration went up.
The health department was at the administrative building?
Yes, they were all gathered together in a central area.
If anyone fell sick, would he go to the health department?
Yes, they would go to the health department or go and get their own Chinese medicine. But strange as it seemed, very few people did fall ill.
Were there any private clinics or doctors practicing?
That I don't know. That might have been. But if they practiced, they wouldn't have the medicine. They still would have to refer to the health office. You see. For example, my neighbor, her child had very high temperature, and he referred the child to the doctor, and the doctor said, sorry, I cannot, the most I can give you would be aspirin to bring down the temperature, but that wouldn't, in case of this fever, I doubt it would be of much help. It requires some sulfonamide thing, and at that time it was 693, the strongest, latest discovery. I happen to have a tube which I bought from black market for quite a lot of money. I said, if you want, I can spare you some. So I gave him some and managed to cure the child, and he was grateful to me for that.
Was there a small hospital in the settlement?
Well, the only thing, I believe there was only one serious case when the person was brought down, brought back to Shonanto, which was Singapore, to the hospital. What happened to the person, I wouldn't know. But obviously they were brought there, but there was no special hospital where hospital care, as we know, was given, you see.
How about water supply?
Oh, the water supply, as I said already, would be from the wells. And we, most of us, especially the English educated ones, bought the special filters made out of sand and cement, a special mixture, you know. You see, every morning we would fill that thing and filter the water first, yeah? And then the filtered water would then be boiled for drinking and cooking purposes. The rest we get from the well, we got from the well for bathing, washing and other purposes. And surprisingly, the well water was as clear as of pipe water, generally speaking. But bacterially speaking, we are not so certain because we cannot see the bacteria content, you see. The filter is made of a sand and cement and stones and so on in the shape of a bowl, a deep bowl, thicker at the bottom. Then we fill the bowl with water, and the water would drip through, and this water would collect it in a tub. When we have collected enough, we would use that water, boil it. By boiling it, before we drink or cook our food.
Did you have to dig the well yourself?
Yes. Quite a lot of things has got to be done ourselves. Except they do provide communal wells. The moment we are given our own settlement, we have got to go and dig our own well. They don't do that for us. Most of us do employ helpers. Some of these people are experienced well diggers. They know how to dig wells in a proper manner to shore the sites properly and where to site the wells. That's very important. You site the wells wrongly, you are going to get muddy and cloudy water. And so they do employ these people. But where we are sure that you are sure of the site and you can do it yourself, you can quite easily dig a hole on your own.
How did you dig your own well?
That was quite easy. I was fortunate that my house was near a spring, you see. So I just walked a few yards away from my house, and there at the slope, there was spring water coming out from the side. And there I dug a few feet. I dug about 5 feet, a hole 5 feet deep, and then began to shore with my spare planks which I got, and there I had my well already made for me.
Did it supply you with enough water throughout your stay in Andal?
Beg your pardon?
Did it supply you with enough water throughout your stay in Andal?
Oh yes. In fact, there was too much water. When it rained, the water would be overflowing from the well.
What about lighting facilities in your house? Lights.
Light. We used coconut oil, coconut oil, kerosene. But we used kerosene lamp. Kerosene was still available, you know. Expensive but available. But we could use coconut oil and wick. Very, very strange. Our eyes were so used to dim lighting that a little bit of light was sufficient. Anyway, we did very little reading. There's practically nothing to read.
Was there electricity supply in the settlement?
Oh no. I believe there was at one time an effort to have a generator, and some places had the generator lighting for some purposes, but we didn't have our place wired. We were too far away.
What about the administrative?
The restaurant had their own generators.
The administrative building?